This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to West Coast Bias. I'm your host, Jake Merrifield, and I'm joined here by my good friend, Jamal Artis. Jamal, how are you doing? Right? Oh, my gosh. This is West Coast Bias. We're talking about West Coast sports. Really, it's, you know, predominantly Lakers and Dodgers. And when we get to football season, some Rams and Chargers, sure. But it has been rough. But we are West Coast Bias, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, WS Network. And, of course, on Twitter, we are WB West Coast Bias. Jamal is at ChampsPapa1015. Those champs aren't looking too good right now, either one of them, but we'll see. And, of course, you can also listen to the What's Brewing Show and the UCLA B team, or the B team, also on the same feed. And please enjoy your Bruin talk and your local LA sports talk, West Coast Bias. Now, Jamal, I just want to get right to it because I'm like fired up about why everybody's so fired up is what I'm fired up about. So we'll start with the Lakers. Number one, went to my first game and, you know, since before COVID.
Right.
I just went on Friday. My daughter and I went to go see the Lakers versus the Sacramento Kings. We had some nice seats in the 200s. It was bizarre. It was absolutely surreal experience because, you know, you've been to many Laker games, Kings games, even Clipper games, you know, whatever.
Right.
Staples Center.
It's full.
You know, it's full, or at least it's full-ish. And so going to a place where there's 1/5 of the normal traffic in the actual area.
Right.
Everything, you know, there's giant walls put up to like direct you where to go. Yeah. And then inside the arena, there was only, you know, I can't imagine that's more than 1/5 or 1/50th capacity or whatever it is.
Right.
I don't know exactly what it is. But basically, you know, there was butts in the seats every, I would say, there'd be for every two seats that were seated, there were 6 or 8 empty, right? So I guess that's so, no. I take that back. There was probably 15 or 20 empty.
Right. So like an old LA Avengers game.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Right. Only they were all spread out. There wasn't any concentration.
Right. Exactly.
Of fans. That part was weird. Not being able to eat or drink anything inside the arena was kind of weird. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be because.
Right.
You know, normally I like to, my main thing is I just like to suck down a soda while I'm at the game.
Right.
So I did miss that, but obviously it was tolerable. And then the innovation that actually happened, and I hope that sticks around for future Laker games, is you could put yourself in the queue to order food from your seats. And so instead of going and waiting in a big old long line, I was able just to go and pick up the bag or whatever we bought. We bought, you know, some cookies and we bought a water or something for my daughter. But that was actually pretty streamlined and quick. So that part was nice.
And where did you have to eat that?
And then I thought you'd have to go all the way outside to the courtyard where the sculpture garden is.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually had some tables set aside throughout the concourse, right? And so that part actually wasn't so bad. I mean, obviously, if it was a full house, then there wouldn't have been enough tables.
Right,
but because it was far from a full house, there was generally space for everybody. The options of the food, like we really wanted to get some Wetzel Pretzel because that's kind of what our routine was, and that was not open. But we did get some pretty nice cookies from one of the places they had that, you know, because they made a lot of the, right before COVID, they redid some of the eateries at Staples Center and made some of them kind of foo-foo.
Right.
And they had like a couple of those open and then a couple of just the regular ones open. And so it was fine. You know, all that was fine. All in all, you know, being at the game was a lot of fun. It was a very different experience, but it reminded me of going to Clipper games back when I was a Clipper season ticket holder, when some of the games you'd show up and it was like half capacity.
Right.
And you could yell and you knew the players could hear you. Right. And obviously I'm a much more, you know, refined man at this point in my life. But I was yelling a lot, but I wasn't being nearly as mean or rude as I once was. Just good natured, cheers and boos for the Lakers, cheers and boos for the opposing team, the Kings. But so that part was kind of cool and fun, and we were down in the lower bowl, so that was nice as well. And my daughter had a good time. So yeah. So just with that being said, had a nice Laker experience. Other than the fact that, oh, and by the way, buried the headline, We didn't know that LeBron was coming back until we got there, and then he's in warm-ups, and then we're like, holy crap, and my daughter, her favorite player is LeBron. And so, you know, it was, I had actually tweeted, I said, hey, you know, LeBron, if you want to come back tonight, it'd be cool because my daughter's gone. He didn't respond, but he did show up and play.
I think he did actually respond. He was there.
Yeah, he did respond. Yeah,
he read your tweet.
With his actions. So, yeah, you're welcome. So he actually, it was fun to watch in that game because, you know, they were down early and then they actually got up pretty big. And then
17, I think.
Yeah, and then they pissed the game away.
Right.
But at the end of the game, it was all on LeBron, and he's the one who had the two turnovers, and he missed a shot, and then he missed the three-pointer at the end. So, I mean, we'll talk about what a debacle the Toronto game was, but that particular game, I walked out of there going, okay, we're good now, because LeBron's not going to finish games like that, and everything else looked good enough, and they're just going to get better from here. Oh, my gosh, where's my record screech, right? yeah, it turns out that's not the truth, because now Schroeder's gone for a couple weeks.
Yep.
AD apparently isn't feeling great. He wasn't playing great anyway.
Right.
LeBron has a bum ankle again.
So he's out tonight. Out probably the next game.
Caruso came back briefly, but he's had a couple stints where he's been off.
Bad back.
But, yeah. You know, so they are in some major serious trouble.
Right.
Of, you know, right now they're in the playoff game. Tied. Three-way tie. They're also in fifth place, right?
Fifth, sixth, and seventh.
They're in fifth, sixth, and seventh.
Right.
You know, so that could go up or down, but like all signs point to, you know, this is trouble for the Lakers.
Right.
They only have 8 games left, so they're probably not going to fall out of the playoffs.
No, they're not. They're 99% guaranteed to get in the playoffs.
Yeah. But the playoff game now is more likely than not, I think you'd have to say.
Yes, it's looking that way.
And what everybody has been saying, you know, the party line has been, oh yeah, they'll come back, they'll get those guys, they'll be healthy, and it's all good. And that's the problem, is that it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
No.
Which, as we talked about last week, you know, when you look at all the circumstances of the season, like, it's great if that happens, but to expect that is probably pretty naive.
Yes. When we said temper your expectations.
Which leads me to my major rant right now.
Right.
It's that, what the F is everybody getting so excited about? We saw this happening, and if you just look at the context of the season,
right?
Oh my God, there's nothing to be upset about. No, I mean, zero, you know, it's sad, but it shouldn't be upsetting or unsurprising.
Right. We discussed this last week. We said there's going to be a worst-case scenario and there's going to be a best-case scenario. I gave a historical perspective. I said it could be like 1981 or it could be like 2001.
Right.
1981, Magic gets hurt. When he finally gets back into it, they're not sharp as they were the year before when they won the championship. They can't coalesce. They lose early in the playoffs. 2001, Derek Fisher's gone for the whole season. He comes back. The team finally gets that an important piece. They coalesce and they become the most dominant team in the playoffs. Unfortunately, it's 1981. You know, it's 2021.
Yeah.
That's the historical perspective. This team got hurt halfway through the season. They're most important players, and try as they might to try to get healthy, it's just too much right now.
There's no guarantee that that's going to work.
Right. Exactly. Even if LeBron comes back at 100%, even if Anthony Davis comes back at 100%, you're talking about muscle memory. You're talking about efficiency in knowing who they're playing with. Because remember, this team at the beginning of the season added 5 different players, different perspectives, different adjustments. You know, we talked about it. Even when they were winning at the beginning of the season, there was always seemed to be like they were making adjustments on the fly. When you take out their 2 most important pieces, they can't make the adjustments on the fly anymore. And I don't understand why we're the only 2 people in the greater Southern California area who doesn't understand that.
And that's what's kind of making me shake my head, because it's the whole season, like after they started, they had the great start. Then since then, it's been, who is the guy that we're going to pick on and be mad about and be, oh my God, he's an underachiever. And then how are we not going to acknowledge the fact that the team's been in a shambles?
Right.
You know, like, it's like there has to be a head on the chopping block. And this is not the season for that.
Right.
You just came off the title and now you have like the worst circumstances, you know, in a game, you know, from the game perspective, not, you know, in life, you know, everybody's doing well. Otherwise, I hope.
Right.
But, you know, as far as like planning your team and being able to, you know, to execute on the court, it's been just a constant shell game kind
of
thing.
Exactly.
So, you know, people should not be mad at Frank Vogel. You know, but, you know, I know it was kind of wingnut tweets, but they were like acknowledging the anger about Frank Vogel, you know, midway through the season. People should not be mad at Marc Gasol. The guy was out for a month with freaking COVID,
right.
And first they hated him, and now like he's the savior. I mean, give me a break. Kyle Kuzma's comments, you know, accepted. He's going to be a role player on this team. Andre Drummond is a scapegoat for a little while until what's coming now. Oh, it's all AD.
Right.
AD is going to get taken through the ringer,
right.
And look, whether you're listening to the national podcast like the Ringer today, you know, Logan Murdoch and Roger Bell's podcast, they're talking about how AD's not ready to take the baton. It's like, look, we're not even ready to have that conversation yet, so shut the F up.
Right,
and by the way, I love that podcast, but shut the F up, you know, where it's like the local stuff. And right. By the way, Lockdown Lakers has never been more listenable now that they have not hot take artists on there as the host. Rip the last former guy. But it's just like, there's no reason to get super pissed about any one particular player on this particular team right now just because of the circumstances.
And people forget the other unique circumstance. This team, they won a championship in October and they had to play on Christmas Day.
All those things.
Right. And I know everybody else. No, actually, not everybody else had to do that. Look at Miami. Look at how bad they've been this year.
Rounding into form.
Exactly. Look at how bad the Celtics have been. We're talking about look at how Denver season. They were very down, and then they kind of came back up, and then Jamal Murray tears his ACL, and now they're not going to be the contenders that everybody thought they were 2 weeks ago when he was healthy, and they were blowing the doors off everybody. And those are the top four teams that ended up playing in October, the final four teams. And look at where they're at, and it's just the worst case scenario of every circumstance we can think of for this team, and it's just happened this year.
And it's fine to be sad about it and to be like, oh man, that sucks, but to be like angry and demand, like I said, heads on the chopping block, that's ridiculous.
Right.
Just to reset how the season is laid out, they start off the season running away with it and not even playing at their full potential, but they start out 21-7. I mean, that's a pretty good damn start, right? Best record in the NBA, all that stuff. And then all the shit hits the fan. You know, on February 14th, Davis is injured, that loss to the Nuggets. On February 18th, Schroeder's out on COVID protocol. They end up losing four in a row there.
Right.
Because, well, why? Two of your most important players are out.
Two of your starters.
Two is shocking, right? They win two in a row, and then Gasol gets COVID. He's out for a month. That disrupts things. If they had Drummond back then, maybe it's not as big of a drop-off.
Right.
But
that's three starters.
He wasn't there then. They weren't the same after that. Caruso has gotten knocked out for a week twice, right? He, one of your glue guys. Then LeBron gets hurt, and then that, all bets are off there. They tread water while LeBron's out, and then now they're coming back, and AD is still not, at his peak form.
Right.
He's not garbage, but he's not at his peak form.
Right.
LeBron is totally limping around, and now Schroeder's going to be out for 2 weeks.
Right.
Forget about it. This is as bad as it can get far as, what you want. Once again, two of your two main cogs are not up to speed, and your third best player is now out for another 2 weeks.
Right.
That's not going to work.
And totally out of anybody's hands.
Yeah, and it's like I said, there's nobody to blame for any of this crap.
Right.
So get off my back. Mikey, you wanted to talk about Frank
Vogel. I would just like add a counterpoint.
Kobe doesn't play for me, or you can't be pissed.
Oh, no, that's actually a good thing. They actually have money now because of that. but I said this last year. I said this the year before. You absolutely can get mad at Frank Vogel because, sure, great. I know Magic brought in LeBron and Vogel brought in AD. But what have I been saying for the last 2 years? All he's been doing is bringing in Band-Aids aside from that. You know, what core players do they have? How many of these guys were on different teams last year or 2 years ago? They got rid of Lonzo Ball and
a
few other young dudes.
Get out of here, Bruin.
they got rid of or not even got rid of, but guys are just left in the off season. So you can absolutely get mad at Frank Vogel because
but he doesn't make any of those decisions.
He doesn't make those decisions. You're thinking of Pelinka, the GM. Rob Pelinka.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I mean, with Vogel, in that aspect, you can get mad at him because he's not adapting. He's not using his coaching chops to coach up, the rest of the players. This is something you should always, as a coach, prepare for. You prepare for the worst, and clearly he hasn't. But I get it. They're still trying to mesh again. The guys are. LeBron just re-hurt his ankle.
Ankle, yeah.
you know, should.
And they're playing the Nuggets tonight, and it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
He's not playing. Schroeder's not playing.
Yeah, no, you're correct.
Colossal effort.
You can get, you know, you should put the most of the. If you are going to get angry, yeah, thank you for straightening me out. If you are going to get angry, get mad at Pelinka because he did not prepare this team.
But yeah, and I understand that sentiment, Mike, because you haven't agreed with the moves he's made. But like universally at the beginning of the season, the talk around, you know, not just the most of the local talk, but most of the national talk was, is this the most talented Laker team of all time, for Christ's sakes?
And it was the best team in the NBA.
And it was the best team in the NBA. So it's like.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't.
It looks like that way now. But you know, still, you know, as far as the circumstances go, if there's a year when you have a team that should be good, but they ain't as good as expectations. You know, I'm sorry, the players don't like to give excuses, but from a fan perspective, from the outside looking in, it's like, we got plenty of reasons why here without getting super pissy about stuff. Right. You know, and by the way, you know, whether we like Rob Pelinka or not, it's undeniable that their front office
knows what they're doing.
Has gotten, compared to where it was 2 years ago,
yes,
when Magic had his wacky press conference,
or even worse, three or four or 5 years ago,
right.
It isn't a better decade. It's in a better spot, but
yeah,
it's like, you know, patchwork trying to put together an old car, and it's like, oh, I found the wheels, let's put some, you know, some tape on the side, let's tape up the bumper, hey, it's still running.
Just to go with what Mike said, one of the things that was being criticized in terms of Vogel was not knowing who to put out there at the end or in certain rotation spots, or not recognizing when somebody doesn't have it. And I guess that you can make that case, but at the same time, again, it's unforeseen circumstances. The man has his hands tied sometimes because some guys just aren't showing up, too. Some guys just aren't showing up. It's, you know, they're not a good shooting team, regardless of whether LeBron and AD are there. They struggled, you know. Sometimes they make a lot of mental mistakes when it comes to playing defense. But... you know, it's the fact that he's got them where he's got them is good enough for me. And you know what? They've shown to me, the Laker front office, that they know how to put together a championship team.
Yeah. And
so if this is the season where everything goes wrong, then I'm fine with that because they're going to be okay.
Hopefully they'll build up some luck for next year.
Right, exactly. They'll be in a position the next couple of years because they'll still have LeBron and AD. And they already proved this year when they're on the floor, this is the best team in basketball.
And hopefully all of that, this pressure that we're like, that shouldn't be there,
right,
doesn't affect the front office or the people on the team or the decision makers. I don't think it will. They're obviously in good shape.
Right.
And that's what's so frustrating. It's like, just like the French Revolution, just like the current state of social media, there always has to be a head on the chopping block, you know? And, right, you know, it went from... you know, Marc Gasol early. You know, first it was kind of Schroeder. It was like, do they really need this point guard? They're going to pay him too much money in the offseason. Right. Then it went to Marc Gasol. Then it went to Andre Drummond.
Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell is kind of in that space off and on, right? And it's like...
Kuzma. Why didn't they trade Kuzma? Why didn't they keep Brandon Ingram?
Yeah. Oh, and then the other one, too. Why didn't they trade... not KCP. The young guy with the... super awesome.
Oh, THT.
THT. Why didn't they trade THT for Kyle Lowry?
Right, right.
It's like, Kyle Lowry is not helping them right now.
Right.
He's not solving any problems right now, right?
Exactly.
You know, so I don't want to hear any of it. Right. It's just driving me up the wall.
Right.
So just chillax, please.
Please.
Let's watch some highlights from the bubble. I mean, that's what we need to do.
Exactly. You know, there's YouTube.
All right.
The whole game is in HD on YouTube. The ceremony. Just relive the trophy ceremony over and over again. That's what I do.
I'm with that. I'm going to go to the banner drop on the 12th, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, All right. You go.
So let's move on to the other train wreck in town. That's got mildly better, sort of, I guess, possibly.
No.
No?
More bad news today.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Let's get on to the Dodgers. Okay, so they... one yesterday Sunday. Or Sunday.
Going away.
Going away. They had a freaking grand slam in the first and a grand slam later on. That game was like my question is, after losing like, I don't know, what, 27 out of 28 or whatever it was, it seems like.
10 out of 13.
The Godfather was letting us know.
Yes.
After that, was this catharsis or is it just a blip?
No. I'd like to quote Clark W. Griswold, look around. We're in the 10th level of hell.
Yeah.
They got news today that they have lost their number 5 starter, Dustin May.
Oh,
his elbow exploded.
No, really?
Yes, because on Saturday, one of the reasons they lost on Saturday was because he couldn't pitch after the second inning. He threw a pitch, went 94 miles per hour, and his elbow ligament went somewhere else.
Oh, good Lord.
So he's going to have Tommy John surgery.
That's unbelievable.
So, yeah, the Dodgers, much like the Lakers, are one step front and 99 back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the midst of a terrible slump. It's a confluence of things, injuries. Obviously, I just mentioned Dustin May. I did a
Kershaw was out with bases loaded again as a pinch hitter.
Right,
that was
exactly.
I actually kind of digging that. I'm hoping he gets one.
Well, I prefer last year when they had a DH and they didn't have to make those moves.
Yeah,
because those games went in, and you know you're mentioning that it. Well, yeah, it was an extra inning game. They're 1-4 in extra inning games.
And by the way, the 12 of 13, like most of those were close.
Oh
losses.
Yeah, no, they're
that's the thing. It's like
well,
just barely losing.
They've lost 6 games by one run.
Yeah.
They have scored one run or less during this streak where they were losing. They were like 1-5 when they've scored one run or less. They won one game, 1-0, and then the rest they scored one run. I mean, it's
just. But the other sad part is that a lot of those games they were leading.
Exactly.
And then they came from ahead to lose.
Right, exactly. The bullpen blowing games, injuries. I did a April review for the Dodger Way, the website I write on the FanSided Network. And
.com.
The last 14 games, you know, which is a lot of these losses where they went 10-3 and 10, they ended up hitting .177 over those 14 games.
Boy,
they can't drive in runs. They've had great starting pitching, but of course, you know, then this happens where Dustin May is one of their starters. They have to drop him. They didn't have a lot of options. Their bullpen is not as good as they were at the beginning of the season because going back to injuries, they lost David Price to an injury. Bruce Dar-Gatterall has the dreaded forearm tightness or stiffness. He's having an MRI tomorrow. He was injured to come into the game. Joe Kelly revealed that his shoulder was basically held together by wax paper.
I love Joe Kelly.
That's why he struggled last year to find the plate, and that's why he hasn't been back this year.
Darn it.
So, you know, and then there's the Kenley Jansen come in, strike out the side one game, blow the next two games. So, you know, the Dodgers have livened up my misery meter. And I hate saying that because I said at the beginning of the season, everyone gets a 5-year moratorium. The Dodgers, the Lakers, they won a championship. It's on Blu-ray. It's no longer on VHS. It's nice and shiny. You can find a billion YouTube clips.
The problem is they started so. It's just like the Lakers.
Right.
They started so well. Out of the box, they were so nice.
Right. And, yeah, they were 12-2, and since then they went 3-10 or something like that. Right? Or 4-10. Now, I will say this. There's the big difference, right? The Lakers started off well, and then their injuries kind of compounded after the second half going into the playoffs, and it's going to be a struggle to be competent or definitely not going to be back to where they were before. The Dodgers seem to be doing all this in April, which is a good thing because it's a long season.
Baseball is going the full way.
Right, exactly. Baseball is a marathon. All these things can happen to them now in April. Except for the Dustin May injury, hopefully nobody else has gone for the whole season, then they'll still be able to get back to the swing of things, pun intended, by the end of the season, I think. And then, you know, there's always trade deadline stuff. I mean, they have the resources to patch up the holes and certainly go into the playoffs, with a chance to defend their World Series title. But it's not fun to watch at the moment.
No, especially when, you know, you lose 3 out of 4 to the Pods, you lose two out of three to the Reds, 3 out of 4 to Milwaukee. And now they have a doubleheader against Chicago.
Tomorrow, the Cubs. Yeah, day afternoon doubleheader.
I guess the good news is it's only 7 innings, so you have less time for your bullpen to blow.
Right, and the bullpen gets a day off because they were supposed to play today, so they get a day off.
And the Dodgers coming off of putting up 16 runs.
Right.
You know, and like I said, only 8 of them were grand slam, so they scored 8 other runs too.
Right.
So like they were hot yesterday. So I mean, if they can keep that going, then they can get back on track pretty quick. But
And that's the thing with the baseball. You know, it's like one day you're striking out 5 times. You know, it's funny because Sunday Mookie Betts and Corey Seager went 1-for-6. That's been more common, and that tells you where they're at in terms of why they're not winning. But they still won 16-4.
Yeah.
So that's where that can happen in baseball. Problem is, I feel like it's going to be fewer and far between, and those guys need to really step up their game and start hitting. You know, one of the reasons they lost in Milwaukee, that game where they were up 5-3 in extra innings, was one, they had to play a bullpen game because they lost a starter in the second inning, but two, Corey Seager can't come up with the ball, you know, that hit that went under his glove, and the Brewers get the tying run, and then they get eventually the winning run, because then Mookie Betts throws a terrible throw from the outfield and comes nowhere near getting the guy at home. You know, it's that, it's been that kind of a season, you know, and unfortunately, it's like I said, it's starting early. Hopefully, you know, come the fall, this isn't the same kind of team that we're watching. You know, going into the playoffs.
No, I hope so. And if you didn't see it, they're going to have a doubleheader. By the time you listen to this, they're probably already playing because they have a doubleheader starting at 11:20, and then the next game is at 4:40.
Right.
Still, I guess.
And that's old school baseball. I remember when they actually used to schedule doubleheaders,
except for at seven innings.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, it's old school baseball, and then it's ridiculous baseball. Just like the whole, you know. And I think part of the reason they're losing these games in extra inning is because their beat up bullpen is having to hold on to leads, you know, and things like that. So.
All right. Well, I guess we'll put a pin in the Dodgers because, right, you know, it's just, this is one of those things. It's like, well, I don't know, with the Lakers, we were in limbo forever. And now that it looks like we're getting close to nut cutting time, it's just not coming together. So once again, just calm down and just shake your head.
Right.
With the Dodgers, they still have plenty of time to go. And
right,
and really, all of regular season baseball, right, is limbo because it's just goes
the,
on,
you know, with the team, you know,
and ever. I am watching more regular season baseball than I ever have in my life. Though,
yeah, well, I definitely am because finally, right, have a channel after
the girls come home and they want to watch.
Yeah, like, I finally have the I have the finally have the channel. Yeah. Why I'm watching it. Yeah. But the thing is, and I think, you know, part of the problem with the Dodgers is not just the injuries. I mean, they're talented players who aren't performing, and so hopefully the cream rises to the top.
I hope so. Okay, so this week, NFL draft happened. UCLA players, Demetri Felton and Oso Digizua, went to the Browns and the Cowboys. Respectively. But the local teams also did some drafting.
Right.
What did you think about the Rams draft?
I think it's right in line with what we said. We said that their first pick probably going to get a speedy wide receiver. They did, Tutu Atwell from the University of Louisville. And then they were going to focus on interior defense and on their offensive line, and they did. And I mean, it's pretty much where they were. I think the most draft grades were B's for the Rams.
Yeah,
Which
Kuiper
is
gave them a B plus.
Yeah, B plus. Yeah, that's what I saw. B plus for them. I think Fox Sports gave them a B, which is fine. I mean,
when you don't have a first round pick too, it's like hard to really make a big splash.
Right, and you know, we've said they've done well with their drafting in the later rounds, and they're just kind of got
a new addition in Bobby Brown III.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Interior lineman. And I tweeted out that every time he sacks somebody, they better play My Prerogative when he sacks someone over at SoFi Stadium. So, and it's really about them rounding out. They have so many weapons on both sides, you know, with Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey on defense, you know, Matt Stafford being their quarterback, Cam Akers, their receiving core, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. They're just rounding out the rest of the... for depth and the rest of the team. So I think B plus is a good place to be.
That's good. And then the Chargers, they got a lot of nice reviews from people. What'd you think of their class?
And again, like we predicted.
Yeah.
No, we stole the research from other people.
That's right. Good job. But drafted a Wildcat from Northwestern in the first round. Godfather's got to be happy about that.
There you go. They focus on their offensive line. They focus on their offensive line early.
Always a good idea.
And they've also focused on defense because, you know, they need the depth. They had too many injuries on both sides. And they also have plenty of weapons, but they wanted to round out and hopefully improve on the record. So, yeah, I think they deserve an A for being competent. And we'll see. You know, it's one thing about the draft. There's a lot of hype, and there's something that I heard today. 54% of first rounders get to their second NFL contract.
Another weird note, not one player drafted by either local team, I think, west of Chicago.
Really?
Out of this class.
I mean,
listen to those universities. Louisville, South Carolina, A&M, Texas, Central Arkansas, UCF, Northwestern, Maryland, Notre Dame, Concordia, St. Paul.
Yeah.
That's That's on the East Coast, right?
No UCLA, somewhere. No USC.
Well, no Pac-12 at all, and right. Not even any of the minor, the lower ones. And then the Chargers, Northwestern, Florida State, Tennessee, Georgia, Duke, Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, and Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, usually there's at least one of those late picks is like some guy from San Jose State or
Arizona
or
State.
SDSU or yeah, something yeah. like that, you know, flyer.
Yeah.
So, oh, man.
Or BYU.
Local teams.
Yeah.
It did not like what they saw.
Well,
locally.
Well, some of those guys went higher rounds than they probably could have gotten. I mean, there was no way they were going to get the Rams were not going to have how do you say it? Odigizua drop to them. You know,
yeah.
Things like that. So,
and then we talk about our other favorite not local team,
the Raiders.
They once again come out and do something that everybody disagrees with. You know, it remains to be seen, you know, how people feel about that. But they draft Alabama tackle Leatherwood in the first round, and everybody's like, "Oh yeah, you drafted him like three rounds too early."
Right.
What else did you see about the Raiders?
Well, it's funny because the Raiders like to get guys who came out of the college football playoff. It's either Alabama or Clemson. That's the problem with them. Well, it's Leatherwood, you know, it meets a need. They needed a left tackle. It meets a need. They need somebody to protect David Carr. They need depth. Problem is they're picking guys that nobody had at that point, and they could have gotten later. So it feels like a wasted first-round draft pick. Although today there were people now saying, there were some NFL scouts saying they had Leatherwood possibly going in the first round, but he would have probably gone much later, you know, after 25 or something like that. He has that talent.
It was a reach regardless.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And then after that, they were given good points in their second and third round pick, going for a free safety and then picking up another, I believe it was another offensive lineman. And people were okay with that. But again, yeah, they mostly got C's. And it's just, it's been their story where there always seems to be a guy that they can get and they get someone else. And unfortunately, it really hasn't worked out, especially last year.
No, and it really was. I'm looking through all these different draft classes for people, and like my comment on being pretty talk about East Coast bias. My God, there really aren't too many West Coast players of any. You know, obviously your Penny Sewells and guys like that went big, and there's a couple Stanford guys and a couple Bruins and five or six Trojans.
Right.
But
Mount St. Brown went high, you know, to the Lions, that kind of thing. Or higher.
No, I mean,
higher second round.
They had one first day pick, and then I think the next time you heard a Trojan was third or fourth, I think.
Yeah, it was.
It was day three, I want to say.
Yeah. St. Brown.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, we got to get that spun around at some point, you would think.
But
that does not reflect well on the old Pac-12.
Again, I'm going to say, you know, what I was alluding to was that I heard today 54% of first-rounders don't even get to their second NFL contract.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's all a crapshoot. I mean, you know.
That is true.
Depends on where you go, who you're behind.
Situation's always
been. Yeah, the development. And sometimes talent just wins out. Look at Patrick Mahomes. You know, he was a Texas Tech guy. Picked in the third round, and by his second season, he was the starter for the Chiefs. That's how good he was. That's just talent.
And Elijah Vera Tucker for SC went to the Jets, but I mean, does that really count as the NFL? So
I don't even know
off their first round draft pick.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah, there you go.
I say this with all my heart: F the Jets.
F the Jets. Wow, Mike.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you like the Jets, Mike?
A crappy organization.
There you go.
There you go.
I'll take it.
With crappy fans, you know who you are,
Jamal.
I buried the lead on something.
Not
even buried the lead, but forgot to mention it, and it was a big story. I've been, you know, the times when I was at Dodger Stadium, no more Farmer John.
Oh, yeah, that's a good decision.
Where did that come from?
That's just like, I mean, they've been saying that
they got Hebrew National, right? I hope.
No, I don't. Nobody
Hopefully
knows.
Not Hoffy.
Who knows? Because they just have Dodger dogs, and they haven't said who they've got it from. And it's
their own proprietary blend of lips and assholes. Oh, my God.
That's from the Great Outdoors.
Oh, God. Now I'm going to go
super
vegan.
Look that one up.
I'm telling you, like, pro tip here, if you're going to get a hot dog, just make sure you get the all beef one.
Yeah, the all beef grilled.
Just get all beef.
Don't get boiled.
Like, when you're at Dodger Stadium,
right.
You had to go get the all beef one because sorry, but just.
But it's funny that you know as much.
And Farmer John made a perfectly fine all beef hot dog.
Right.
I'll say that.
And it's funny because as much of minutia and things that we hear, I mean, good Lord, I know the names of Dodger players' kids and stuff like that because that seems to be what people are reporting these days. The fact that for a whole freaking year, a whole 2 years, really. Farmer John has not been involved with the Dodgers. And the reason we bring it up is because who was always sponsoring the bumpers on the radio and on TV with the, I mean, Vin Scully made Farmer John in local advertisement just as famous as, I don't know who else, the guy who does the Smucker's commercials, I guess. You know, it's just like those voices are just synonymous with it. I mean, I had Farmer John at my house. It wasn't hot dogs. He always got like the sausage links.
Yeah.
In fact, I think there are some in the fridge right now. You know, there or the breakfast sausage, bacon, things like that. But for them not to be affiliated with the Dodgers anymore is like kind of one of those things like, yeah, childhood really doesn't exist anymore.
And so, by the way, this is not the Dodgers decision.
Oh, no, this is Farmer John's.
Farmer John is had a long-standing and valued relationship with the Dodgers. After the 2019 season, Farmer John made the difficult business decision not to renew its contract with the Dodgers.
Communists.
Unfortunately, damn right, Mike, were you part of this decision?
No.
Goddamn commie. Unfortunately, though, latest contract negotiations, we were unable to come to an agreement that was beneficial for both parties. So it got too expensive to make the Dodger dog packaging to sell at the markets, probably. And they're like, I'm out. Lame.
That's funny.
Stupid. What is up with stupid Farmer John? And what is up with stupid Under Armour, right? Hopefully the Dodgers find an equally wonderful solution like the Bruins got Nike. You know, like I said, Hebrew National,
please.
Probably out there.
Please go get Hebrew National. Have Sandy.
Nathan's? I'll take Nathan's. Nathan's is quality.
Have Sandy Koufax advertise it.
Just stay away from Hoffy. I don't want to hear Hoffy.
Or Ballpark.
Get out of the Ballpark, Franks. Yeah. Get out of
it. You know, just do vegan footlongs.
No. Get that.
I will be there.
Son of a.
I will
don't make me come across this table.
I will be there.
Good Lord.
I will be there.
Jake's going to arrest you for that one. But yeah, that was just weird.
All right. Jamal, do we have anything else?
You're under arrest for being stupid and vegan.
I'm clipping that.
Okay, all right. Yeah, there's still options to watch soccer. MLS is back.
Oh, come on, Jamal.
Hey, man.
We have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot.
On the What's Brewing Symposium.
We have
and
a
you're
lot.
Coming out with soccer right now?
We
at
have
the end
a
of
lot
the show?
Of we have a lot of bilingual fans
F that, man.
Who are probably happy that Chicharito is scoring hat tricks.
take that shit.
What team is
Troy.
He? What team
he plays
is he
for the
now?
Galaxy? Plays for the Galaxy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He came
oh,
to
that's
last
right.
Year. Yeah,
yes.
And they're finally getting to see them. I guarantee you. Yeah, that was another thing. LAFC opening up at home. There was, you know, they're at low capacity. Obviously, we talked about the Lakers being at low capacity, but they're out there. They're just as loud as they've ever been. So this summer, if you get a chance, I don't know how expensive it is. I've been going for free for quite a few years now. But if you get a chance, go check out the Galaxy.
Humble brag. Mm-hmm.
Go check out the LAFC. You're gonna enjoy yourself. If you can't, you know, if you can't afford to pay $700 and sit on the top deck at Dodger Stadium, at least make your money go far and go to a soccer game. I guarantee you're gonna have fun, even if you don't know what the hell's going on.
Jamal, really quick. I know Jake doesn't want to get into soccer, but really quickly, if you can tell me in 30 seconds, that's Jake's skull. With the LAFC coming in pretty hot, basically, and the LA Galaxy being here, what, 25 years, something
yes.
like that? What is the level of fandom? What is the balance of fandom in Los Angeles right now?
That was me. Probably not. Jesus
Lord.
Christ, guys.
Get to the chopper!
Too many Dodger dogs there. I could tell you that Galaxy fans won't want to hear it, but there's a significant portion of LAFC fans. Mm-hmm. And if you go to a game, you could easily feel either stadium half and half. You'd have to call in Jake's friends, as I've witnessed myself, to control the crowds.
Oh, yeah.
But I honestly think that they both have very passionate fan bases. And I will say this, the LAFC have been advertising, or not advertising, but memorializing one of the fans of their fan section, 3252, who lost his life to COVID in January, Mo. And the team is actually commemorating his life by wearing a black armband with his name, Mo. And that's just the height of passion that soccer brings. Across the pond, Manchester United, their fans hate their owner so much they rioted and postponed.
Dude, that's fun. Did you hear about that, Jake?
That you could say it's boring,
it's
like, but I guarantee you this. You know,
the sport is absolutely dreadfully boring to me.
But
the fans are
you know,
very entertaining.
It's,
yes.
it's like
I love
it's like daytime drama. there is so much behind the scenes of what goes on aside from the pitch. I mean, you love Ted Lasso.
Oh yeah,
it's the best soap opera ever.
Yeah, but then when you take it to South America and people are getting beheaded or you know having
that's bad. When Brazilians are killing referees or kidnapping them. Yeah, it's a little much.
But I was gonna say, you know, it's funny because one other thing I had on my mind, you know, the Dodgers are playing the Padres, right? Yeah. And you had LA Times reporters and LA Athletic or the Athletic people who cover the Dodgers. Talking about don't boo you Darvish.
Oh yeah,
and it's like, are you out of your freaking minds? Don't boo a guy who's on the opposing team just because he played on the Dodgers
and had a rough outing.
Right, exactly. And
that just goes to how soft the freaking media is.
And then you have,
by the way, I'm sorry, Jamal, to share on your point to support your point, but it's like, oh my God, can we just be? Can we just say things that we feel? Like, don't be disrespectful. Don't threaten anybody. Right. Don't like I said, don't be like a South or Central American soccer fan and threaten to murder somebody.
Right.
That's ridiculous. That's
don't
that's
take it to an extreme level. Bounds. And you know what? I thought about this too. You know, really quick aside, you know, with stuff like the WNBA, I love what's happening with the WNBA, but you know the key ingredient that's missing from the WNBA? And what's missing from the NBA as well? Rivalries. Like, can you imagine, let's say, just an example, the LA Sparks and the Las Vegas Aces, what would happen if one day one of their players clotheslines the other, like a la Lakers Celtics?
Yeah.
Rivalry is important. And obviously that's why people take it to extremes, which is still stupid, but that is what, for me, actually fuels. Now, I don't want hands to be thrown.
Well, you don't have to have violence on the court.
Exactly. You don't have to have violence. Right. But, too, when you have that one game.
It would make it fun.
That's the thing. It would make it fun. And like I say,
I'm hockey fans.
Exactly. But that's what, that's what women's sport needs. You know, I understand, you know, being women and supporting them and all that. But can you just imagine, like, just a thick, heated rivalry that you can just tell from the previews. I mean, certain games, UCLA-USC, that week before, it's just heated. Even if both teams suck, it's just heated. Lakers-Celtics, even when they were both horrible, they're still like, oh, I'm never going to cheer for the Celtics. I'm never going to cheer for the Lakers. Rivalries like this make sports special.
I think that's very true.
And kill the violence. Keep the rivalry.
Nice wording there as well.
Thank you.
No, and the rivalries do violence. Make the sport, but we don't want we want to make sure we don't take stuff too far. UCLA USC is one of the great rivalries in sports. I'm comfortable saying that, right?
Yeah.
And we don't need to measure dicks on which rivalry is the best.
Yeah.
But UCLA USC went over the line when a guy gets stabbed in the eye outside the Rose Bowl.
Little bit.
Like,
yes.
We don't want that stuff. I don't know how we got off on this tangent, but it's like we want. But Jamal, you also can't completely. Like not acknowledge that we're competing and it does get heated and it does there needs to be
exactly.
a rivalry.
Here at West Coast Bias, we want you to boo the hell out of anybody who's not on your team.
This was a weird thing. I'm just watching. I'm sorry, random thoughts.
Go
here.
Back to the Lakers.
We're watching the Laker telecast. They're playing Denver right now, and they're in a close game. But Jamal, in the stadium, I forgot to mention it at the top of the show. That was the other weird thing: is the Laker girls don't perform on
the court.
Now they're up. On in the over by the restaurant on the you know in between the second level and the 300 level, and it's just weird because they're all dancing kind of in spots where there normally would be tables.
Right,
and I have to say like it does have kind of a like you do kind of wondering like where the pole is like how it's set up. It's just weird. It just has
because of the lights.
It's just because
the
light. They're all dancing individually. It had a go-go feel to it, or at least like you're in an Austin Powers movie or something.
Right, exactly.
And you have, like platforms. Like I'm just saying.
I don't understand why they can't go on the court though,
dude.
Because they're wearing masks where they are.
There's a lot of signaling.
60s go-go night at the Staples Center.
At Staples Center.
Can you imagine flower print Lakers jerseys?
You and Bill Walton would be in the first row, I'm sure.
We could all wear messed up teeth like True Brits. All right. Guys, we got to get it. We have a whole other podcast to record.
All right.
If you're listening to this still, which I'd be surprised, you also can join us on the What's Brewing Symposium, which we will be recording next. We also had a very special guest, which may or may not be a whole separate podcast, with Brother Geese, Bruin super fan. Ryan Geesis, and my former student. So if you want to hear that story, tune into that. But until next time, Jamal, What do we say?
We're the West Coast. We're the best coast. We're West Coast bias.
The West Coast bias.
Jamal, it's 10:30 at night. Quick addendum here. After we've done West Coast Bias like 4 hours ago, we're talking about the Lakers. We sat through while we were recording the West Bruin Show, a just absolutely inspiring, dreadful, inspiring finish to the Laker game where they beat the Denver Nuggets. They blow a 12-point lead late, but still come through with some big plays. Exclamation point with THT's just absolute garbage drive to the rack, throwing it up. I think right-handed because he's actually left-handed.
It got and then blocked, Pau Gasol
deflecting it Mark into his Gasol. Hands for any. I'm sorry, yeah, not Pau. Love you, Pau. Love you, Mark too. Mark deflects it into THT's hands, and then on the other end, AD comes up with a huge block.
Right, this is up four.
AD FU right in your eye. Jokic Nuggets NBA in general. I'm not a chump. Store of statement game right. from AD.
In fact, he said, "I'm back. We back."
There you go. Right. Does this make you feel this big victory over the Nuggets? You could say that you'd take this win over the Nuggets. Kind of probably makes up for both losses they had. Not really, but kind of.
For sure to the Kings.
Yeah, for sure to the Kings. They should have won that Kings game.
Yes.
The Toronto game, they should have won that too because they were up big. But anyways, how are you feeling with the Lakers now that they had this thrilling win?
Any type of maximum effort, and that's what you saw throughout most of the game, they held the Nuggets to, I think, 6 of 20 from three-point line, is just all you can ask for. And if they're going to give that kind of maximum effort, then they give themselves a chance to win, regardless who's in the lineup, and you just enjoy it. You just have to enjoy it. Enjoy it for now.
And if they're going to win, I mean, LeBron's got to get his ankle together, right?
Right. And they said it wasn't a re-injury, just soreness.
Yeah. But if AD is going to play that way, the rest of the team is going to play that way around AD. They get LeBron back, and then eventually, it sucks about Schroeder,
right?
But they get him back, then they can still be good. But once again,
it's just a bad effort.
Stop being all freaking crazy about your Laker hate, right?
It's okay. It was fun. It was a fun win.
We got a good game tonight. 93 Lakers, 89 Denver. Screw you, Denver. You know,
good for the standings
in your Colorado sway. All right, that's it, Jamal. We're out.
That was fun.